Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you are living hope. You're alive and you're well and you're here and you love us, Lord. And we thank you for the power of your presence that's here in this night. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for, oh, your awesome presence, your awesome love to us, Lord. We just give you thanksgiving and glory and praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, you may be seated. And tonight we're going to do a prayer workshop. And Lucy is going to be taking the children upstairs in just a little bit. But anyway, Calvin handed out some papers earlier. I need everyone to have a way to write something. If you don't have a pen and paper, we can hand some out to you right now because you'll need them. what? Okay. Everybody has it. Okay. tonight we're going to be talking about visiting with God. Prayer is a two-way communication. It's not just us talking to him, but it's us taking time to listen to how he would answer us and listen to him. Hallelujah, because we are his children, you know, and he wants us to talk to him, but he also wants us to listen. What if your children just gabbed at you all the time and they never stopped to listen? You know, you'd think, well, I mean, yeah, sometimes that happens. Hallelujah. But we're going to be talking tonight about visiting with God. hallelujah. And when you get quiet in the presence of the Lord, we're going to be talking quite a bit about how to get into that place of hearing God and into his presence. And when you do hear from God, always have a pen and pencil ready. Write it down. He may show you a picture. It might just be a simple word, but you need to be ready to write down what he tells you. And God delights in communication with us, direction, edification, comfort, and sometimes he even wants to correct us. Hallelujah. And that's good too, because when we're walking out of order, correction puts us back on the right path and back in line with God. Hallelujah. I can just hear the Lord saying, I was just waiting for you to ask, you know, what do we want to hear from God? You know, he wants to speak to us. Hallelujah. The most powerful life is the one that combines the word with a continual conversation with God led by the Holy Spirit. So we need to be powerful in the word and know the word of God, but we need to be continually talking to God and stopping to listen sometime. We're going to read our key scripture tonight is Habakkuk 2:1, and this is in the Voice version. It says, I will take my place at the watchtower. This is Habakkuk speaking. I will stand at my post and watch. I will watch and see what he says to me. I need to think about how I should respond to him when he gets back to me with his answer. So we go to that place or that watchtower where we are, our place of prayer, and we watch to the Lord and we wait to hear what he is going to say to us. Hallelujah. And we search our heart to know how are we going to respond to him when he does speak. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to be talking about some of the gifts of the Spirit that come to us in prayer. The word of knowledge is one of the gifts of the Spirit, and it's a word or a fragment of the knowledge of God. It's not all the knowledge of God, but he'll give us a piece of knowledge that we need at the right time concerning facts or events supernaturally revealed that we would have no way of knowing on our own. And so, you know, when we listen, he'll give us just a word, something that we need to know that we wouldn't know on our own, that he knows, because he knows it all. And then there's the word of wisdom, and it's the active supernatural agent through which either spiritual or natural wisdom may be imparted. And so wisdom is like what to do with the knowledge we have. You know, sometimes we need a word of wisdom to know what to do with the word of knowledge that God gave us. You know, he tells us something, but how are we going to carry this out? And so that's one of the things that we hear from the Lord in our communication is words of knowledge. It's not all knowledge, but a piece of knowledge that we need at the time. And then what to do with it and how to apply it to our situation. And the Lord wants us to give us knowledge even about everyday things. You know, Maria Luisa was telling me right before service that she was hurting herself every time she put her seatbelt on. And the Lord told her how to put it on different, and it made all the difference in the world. It was a little thing, but it was giving her a problem. And the Lord says, no, do it this other way. Put this seatbelt in another way. And then it just worked so much easier for her. But we need even simple things, daily things, we need to hear. Okay, God, you know, he cares about the little things and the everyday things of our life. You know, sometimes and I'll be so busy and I'll think, what am I going to fix to eat today? Just something like that. And I'll say, okay, God, what am I going to fix? And an idea just come in my mind. He cares about our little everyday things in life. And we should be talking to him about, you know, anything that we need help with. And then there's the discerning of spirits, and the definition of that is a supernatural enablement permitting identification and of the nature and character of spirits, seen and unseen. And these include God. We need to be aware of his presence with us. And so that's discerning of spirits, because he is a spirit, and we discern him. We're aware of his presence with us and around us. And also angels. You know, sometimes we feel and know the angels are around us. It's just so real that their presence is there with us. And especially we've been in dangerous situations and all of a sudden we knew there were angels all around us. And there's no fear because you know they've got you. And then there's also discerning of demon or satanic spirits. You know, we do have an enemy. There is a devil out there, and we do have an enemy. And if something seems messed up, it could be an evil spirit that's coming against us or against someone we love. And, you know, we wouldn't know what to do with it, but if we know, if we hear the spirit saying, that's a spirit of lust that's come against them, and you need to bind it and command it to leave. And then, and it just has to go, because we have authority over evil spirits, but we need to know what we're dealing with. You know, maybe somebody will be really upset with us or a family problem, and sometimes there is an evil spirit involved. And it's so much simpler if we know what we're dealing with because we have authority over it. But things like that. I mean, we can't do anything about demons on our own. It's through the Spirit of God. But we need to know, and that's one of the things we need to communicate with the Lord. What am I dealing with? Because, you know, sometimes we can just get mad at the devil and yell and holler. But sometimes if it's a particular spirit, you need to name that spirit and command it to leave. And there's more power in it. You know, it's like just shooting at the enemy when you don't see him, and you know, you might hit and you might miss. But if you put your sight on him, you're gonna hit it. And so hearing what we're coming against and what spirits might be coming against us and binding them by name, you know, it will bring the victory. Amen. Isaiah 11:2 says that this was a prophecy of Jesus, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Now, these are the things that Jesus had working in his life when he was here on earth. But you know what? We have invited Jesus to live in our hearts. And the same spirit that was upon Jesus is upon his body and his people. So when we're walking in communication with him and in the spirit, you know, we have the wisdom and the understanding, counsel, might, knowledge. The fear of the Lord is really just an awesomeness. One of the definitions of fear of the Lord is worship, be in awe of God. You know, just think, God, you're awesome. You're powerful. You're wonderful. There's nothing too hard of you. And just having I'm being awestruck with God is really what the fear of the Lord means. Just being, oh, wow, God, you're mighty. Amen. I'm going to read Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 in the Message version. And it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. You know, it's just like we need God, you know, and when we get to thinking we know it all, that's when we mess up. It is, we need God. In our everyday life, we need God. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait on the Lord," or spend time in his presence, "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So there is power and renewal and refreshing when we wait in the presence of the Lord, when we spend time with him. We're going to read Psalms 119, 101 through 105, and it says, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So God also speaks to us through his word. And when we're reading the word, if we're in the spirit, when we're reading the word, a lot of times it'll just come alive to us. Have you ever been reading the word and it just jumped out at you? You know, wow, that's awesome, God. You know, you just, his spirit and his word work together to enlighten us. Amen. Okay, we're going to study some keys to hearing God's voice. And if you want to start taking notes right now, you can. Number one, get a notebook or a journal. Keep your prayer time, keep a notebook handy in your prayer time. And then number two, choose a quiet place. Find a place where there's no distractions. And that can be hard with the family. But sometimes early morning or at the end of the day. I know when all of my three children were little, I would purposely get up an hour before any of them got up because I wanted to have time to read my Bible and pray. And it's like if I didn't get it early, I just missed it all day because life was such a whirl. And so I purposely made a habit. And that habit of getting up early just to pray, now I get up early whether I need to or not. It just came a lifetime habit. But anyway, you need a quiet place where you can listen to talk to God. And then number three, you need to be still. You need to relax your soul and cease striving in your mind. Our mind gets so busy, and we need to just calm down, mind. We need to rest in our body and wait as we do this process. The goal is to hit the refresh button on the screen of your mind. You know, just back off from all the busyness and all the thoughts and hit the refresh button on your mind like you would a computer. Put your attention on God and think about his power and his goodness. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And that really takes some self-discipline sometimes. You know, you'll say, okay, I'm going to sit down and pray. And you'll sit down and you'll close your eyes and you'll see the dirty dishes on the sink. And you'll see the dust on the on the furniture. And, you know, your mind, it fights being still. But we need to come to that place and find stillness and begin to try to shut everything else out and put your attention on the Lord. Okay, number four, come correctly. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Worshiping God brings us into God's presence. And then in Psalms it says God inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, God's living, he's there. Living wherever his people are worshiping him. It brings him on the scene. Hallelujah. In Moses' tabernacle, they had two times of prayer every day. And in the morning prayer, they would come to the altar. And all they would do was just praise God. And they would talk about how mighty God was, all the miracles he did for them, how he delivered them, how he set them free. And they would say, God, you healed this, and you delivered us from this, and you set us free from the Egyptians. And they would just spend time praising God for the mighty, awesome things that he had done. And in the afternoon prayer, then they would bring their petitions to the Lord. And there's a real key there. When we start out praising God and talking about how awesome and wonderful and great and powerful he is, it changes our faith level. Because we can have a situation that's absolutely impossible for us, a difficult situation for us. But when we start saying, God, nothing's impossible for you. Nothing, nothing, nothing's impossible for you. You did this miracle and you did that miracle. And you fed the 5,000 with just a handful of food. My problem is nothing to you, God. So when we start our time of prayer out worshiping God, it puts our problems in perspective to how mighty God is, you know, and our problems are nothing for him because he's God. Amen. Okay, number five, watch and listen, like we read in Habakkuk. I will watch and see what the Lord says to me. I'm going to read 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12. Then he said, talking to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. When you're listening for God to speak, don't expect a lightning bolt. You know, most of the time he speaks like a dove landing, real gentle, real softly. And you know, if we're still and quiet in our heart, we will hear when he speaks to us. Sometimes he speaks to us in words, or we'll just hear a phrase. Sometimes we'll see mental images or pictures or like a little vision. And a lot of times it's just little things that will come to our mind. Write it down. And these are like pieces of a puzzle. When you spend time talking with God and he gives you something, a lot of times it's just a word, it's a little phrase, it's a picture, a mental picture. But if you'll keep track of them, it'll be like a jigsaw puzzle. And as you begin to look back on it, you'll see how it's all coming together. And then number six, write it down. Write down the flow of images and thoughts that arise, even the faintest impressions. At this point, don't be concerned with grammar or spelling. Just write down what you receive. Don't even try to analyze it and compare it to the word. The editing and judging can come later. Just write what you hear. In other words, don't put your brain into action at this moment, because it's not you. You don't want to deal with your thoughts and your brain and your reasonings. You're just wanting your brain to be quiet so you can hear in your spirit. And so that's the focus. We hear with our spirit, not with our understanding. The time you spend with God is where God will download the blueprints of the things he wants to build in your life. The more skilled you become at discerning the voice of the Lord, the more mistakes you'll avoid, and the more opportunities you'll seize. Okay, now you need your papers. I want everyone to start by writing down five wonderful things about God, and we're just going to give you a minute to do that. And then if you want to, I would like you to just tell us at least one of the things you wrote down about God. Everybody doesn't have to, but I just want to get your response, because we all see different, and it helps to see what each other hear about God and think about God. Anybody? God's fearless, no fear. Amen. He's a deliverer. He sets people free. What's another wonderful thing about God? He what? He's close to us. He's close, yes. He's personal. Amen. One of the examples that came to me was, God cherishes me. He really loves me. You know, He really loves me. And then the scripture came to my mind, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I know God loves me more than he loves the sparrows. You know, we're made in his creation. He loves us. And then another thing that I thought, God is good. God is a good God. And because he's good, something good is going to happen to me because he loves me. And he's a good God. He wants to bless us. Hallelujah. Next, briefly write down two impossible situations that God turned around, one from the Bible and one from your life. Does anybody want to, can anyone tell me an impossible thing in the Bible that God did? What? Sarah having Isaac. That was an impossibility, and she had him. Hallelujah. Another one was he fed 5,000 people with a few pieces of bread and fish. You know, that's what he did. He walked on water. Amen. That is impossible. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to hear some testimonies about something that was impossible in your life that God did. Anybody have a testimony of something that would have been impossible for you and that God made it possible? While you're thinking, Calvin and I, when we were in the ministry, when we started in the ministry in Douglas, we were really poor. We really didn't have any money. We had very low income, and we were renting, and we wanted to buy a house so bad. And we didn't make enough money to buy a house. And, you know, nobody would loan us money. And then we wanted to build our own house, and we're not contractors, so they sure wasn't going to loan us money to build our house. And within a week, it just fell into place. A man in town had a piece of property at 7.5 acres, and he told Calvin, I'll sell it to you for whatever you can pay down it, or nothing down, and just make payments, whatever you can make a month. So we bought the property, and we didn't give him anything down, and we agreed to pay him $100 a month. And just a day or two later, we were in Tucson, and we met some friends, and we're having lunch with them, and we said, we have bought our own property. We've made a deal to buy our own property. And the bank won't loan us money, and we don't know how we're going to do it, but we know. And they said, well, we just got an inheritance, and we'll loan you the money to build your house. And gave us a very, very low interest. And they gave us the money right away. On our house, and so we used that money, and we paid off the land, and we drilled the well, and we started our house and built our house. Calvin had a guy that he called his brother that was living in New Mexico and had a lumber mill. He was making lumber, And he called Calvin and he said, I'm wanting to tithe off of my lumber mill to you. And I'm wanting to give you the lumber to build your house. And then things just started coming in. And the payment we were making on the property was less than we were paying rent. And so it was just like, and then things came free. We found things. People gave us things. Some of the stuff we have in our house, you know, we got out of a garbage dump, and now it looks like a beautiful part of our house. But it was like it was an impossibility for us, and God made it possible. He had told Calvin the year before, you have spent 10 years for me building houses in Mexico and churches in Mexico for me. Next year is your year to build your house. So that was an impossibility, but it happened, and we're living in a beautiful house. Hallelujah. So that's just one of God's miracles. And okay. Now I want us to just get quiet, close our eyes, relax, and put our eyes, attention on God. His presence is here. And I want us all to pray, Lord, I thank you that I'm your sheep and I hear your voice. And what do you want to say to me? And do you love me? And let's just be quiet and listen a minute. Everybody just be still and say, God, what do you want to say to me, to my heart right now? Hallelujah. Did anybody hear still small voice in your heart? Hear something? And you don't have to share it unless it's something you want to, but did you hear the Lord? Did you hear that still small voice? Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, when we take time to stop and listen, he'll speak to our hearts. When I was getting this ready and I asked the Lord, what do you want to say to me? I begin to see and hear ocean waves crashing against the shore. And they never stop. They just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And the waves don't stop. They keep coming. And the Lord said to me, my love is bigger than the ocean, and it never, ever stops reaching out to you. Don't stand by the shore, but immerse yourself in my love. Come and get lost in me. Hallelujah. You know, of course, it's easy for God to speak to me about the ocean. I love the ocean, but But it's just like, it never stops. The waves never stop coming. And his love never, ever, ever stops reaching out to us and engulfing us. And he wants us to get in closer to him. Hallelujah. Now I want us to be quiet again and ask this question of the Lord. What blocks me from moving forward in my relationship with you? Hallelujah. If you heard something, take time to write it down. my example, what keeps me from moving forward in my relationship is being overwhelmed with busyness and challenges, which we all have, don't we? And how can it be dealt with? And the Lord, I says, okay, Lord, what do I do about this? And he said, talk to me about your every care. He cares about every little thing that bothers us. You know, talk to me about your every care and listen what I would say about them and trust me. Give them to me. You know, sometimes we will have something bothering us and we give it to the Lord, take it back. You know, how many times a day do we have to give it to the Lord? How many ever times we take it back? We need to give it back to the Lord and trust him. Trust him with what we can't do. You know, a lot of our frustrations comes because things come against us and we don't know what to do about them. And that's frustrating because we want to be in control. You know, our children are having problems and we don't know how to help them or whatever. But trust the Lord. Give them to the Lord. He knows. Hallelujah. And then the next question I had that I want us to ask ourselves right now, what are the wrong beliefs you want me to be aware of, God? In other words, what am I believing wrong that I need to be aware of, that you need to show me? Thank you. And one of the things that God told me was, you try to carry the work of the ministry yourself, and the Lord says, it's mine. Ask me what to let go of and what to delegate. You know, sometimes we carry things, and especially emotional things, we'll carry that God wants us to give to Him and let Him carry it a while. Believe in Him. And then the next question I asked the Lord, where is my thinking off track with yours? How am I thinking wrong? And I'm going to move on with this, but write these questions down that you can deal with in your own time. But the Lord told me when I said, well, how is my thinking off track with you, Lord? And the Lord says, you see the problems in other people, and what I want you to see in them is the hidden gold down deep and help bring it to the surface. Be a miner. You know, everybody has precious, precious things in them. Instead of seeing what's wrong on the surface, begin to look for what the buried treasure that's there in them and how to bring it to the surface. Start being a miner to dig up the gold, because God made every person in His image. He gave special gifts to every person. And sometimes people are all messed up, and all we see is the surface. And God wants us to see. And I have felt this real strong. I've been praying about it. We've been praying about the schools. And I feel God wants to give us insight into children's lives and youth's lives. Because sometimes kids, they seem to have a learning disability or this or that. They have things that's blocking them. And it's because they haven't discovered their real purpose and who they really are and what they need to be doing. And if we will find out what God created them to be through words of wisdom, words of knowledge, however God would speak to us, then we can begin to feed that calling and what's special about them. And I believe, you know, if kids are having a hard time in school, or if they're feeling like, oh, I'm not good for anything, or whatever, if they're feeling inferior, it'll just drag them down further. But if they find one thing they can do really well and love it and get excited about something, it'll bring everything up. Because it changes the attitude, and they no longer feel worthless. And I think the body of Christ needs words of wisdom toward our young people. I mean, we don't know, but God knows, and He can help us find those treasures and those gifts and callings that's within our children and our youth that will give them a passion about something in life. You know, kids get messed up because they get bored and they don't feel confident in themselves. But if we can find what that talent is that they have, that they would love, that they would have a passion about, then everything will be better, because they'll be fulfilling that inner thing that they were made to do. They were born to do with a purpose and plan. And, you know, the school system is really a little bit messed up in that they say everybody should be at this level in mathematics, everybody should be at this level in English, everybody, you know, they want everybody to have the very same knowledge. That's not normal. Some kids are just good in math and some aren't. Some are good in English and some aren't. And, I don't think we should put anyone down. Everybody needs some basic knowledge, you know, but they don't need to feel like they're not good enough because they're having a hard time in a certain area. And I think if we find out what is really their interest, it's going to pick everything up, because they'll feel good about themselves. They'll feel like, I'm good at something. I'm good at this. And it changes their attitudes, where everything will come up. And then another question, number seven, to ask ourselves, are there people I need to forgive and release to a greater extent? And this is, of course, private, but sometimes if someone's really hurt us, you know, we just, the enemy brings those thoughts back to us over and over again, but we have to continually, you know, God, help me to turn this loose, to forgive them. And one way to do that is pray for them and pray blessings for them. You know, it's when you're praying in the Spirit and blessing people, you know, it's hard to keep that grudge. It just kind of begins to fall away. So that's one good thing. Another question that I ask, I said, tell me how you see my spouse. And tell me how, ask God, tell me how you see my spouse. Or if you're not married, whoever's, you know, close to you, how do you see this person? And the Lord told me, I see him faithful to me. And then I asked the Lord, what do you want to say to me about my marriage? And the Lord told me, your marriage is a testimony of my faithfulness. You complement each other. Your strengths and weaknesses are opposite. You complete one another, you know. And we're that way. Things that he can do well, I can't. Things I can do well, he can't. But we balance one another. We're good for each other. We help fill up the gaps, and that's a really sweet thing. And then I asked the Lord, how do you want me to see my marriage? And he told me, my greatest earthly blessing. My marriage is my greatest earthly blessing. It just is. And then I said, what would you have me to do to enhance the feeling of honor, respect, and love my partner needs right now? And then what the Lord told me was, cherish and highly esteem Calvin as a gift for me. Believe in him and esteem him. Trust the ministry gifts I've given him. Enjoy him as your husband and your friend. And, you know, the people that we love around us are gifts to us. You know, our children are gifts to us. They're precious to us. Our spouse is somebody precious to us. And so that's... I'm going to read, along with that thought, I'm going to read 1 Peter 3:2 in the Amplified. It says, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, to defer to revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him. That is, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. You know, God wants the people living in our house, our children, our, you know, we're to respect them and honor them and love them and enjoy them. You know, our people around us are gifts to us, and they're precious. And other questions that you can ask yourself, ask the Lord. How do you see each of my children? What do you see in my children? You know, God can see deeper than we can, and he can see what we can't see, and he can see plans and purposes. Are there any special instructions? What are the gifts and talents you have given them that you want me to focus on to help nurture and develop? What special needs do they have that you want me to meet? Are there weaknesses you want me to pray about and come alongside to strengthen? Is there anything you want to do to help mature their walk with you? How would you have me mature my nature? How would you have me nurture my relationship with each of my children? You know, we need to know how to connect to our children, where they are right now, whatever mess they may be in. We need to keep a connection with them and know how to minister to them, to love them through their hard times. And we're going to go back now and read the two of the first verses we started with, Habakkuk 2:1. It says, I will take my place at the watchtower. I will stand at my post and watch. I will watch and see what he says to me. I need to think about how I would respond to him when he gets back to me with his answer. that's interesting. If God tells us something that we need to change in ourselves, are we going to say, yes, Lord? I mean, a lot of times if somebody else tells us something that's wrong with us, we just... But if God deals with me about something, how am I going to respond to him? You know, you can't tell God, just mind your own business. Because we are his business. That's just, but we need to hear the Lord. And in Proverbs 3:5-7, trust the Lord from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we've had in your word tonight and searching our hearts. And Father, I ask that each one of us will put a priority on having a time to fellowship with you, to listen to your voice, to listen what you would say. And we know that you're all powerful. There's nothing we face that's bigger than you are. You're so much greater than any mountain that could stand before us, and you are so mighty and awesome. And Lord, you're our daddy. You're our sweet daddy, and that's the relationship you want with us, that you're our big sweet poppy, and you want us to just crawl up in your lap and let you hold us tight because you love us so much. You're our poppy, our precious Abba Father, and we love you. And Lord, we thank you that we will make decisions to spend quality time, not only praying and reading your word, but taking time to listen and write down what you would say to us, Lord. And Lord, I ask for an increase of your gifts of the Spirit working in our lives, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, Lord, for gifts of healing to flow and working of miracles. Lord, I believe the normal Christian life is a life of miracles. That's what normal Christianity is. That's what the word shows us, that because you are a miracle working God and you're here in us and in your people, Lord, and we long to be all that. We want to have that fellowship with you and that closeness to you. And we long to be in your hands and available to you, Father God. We thank you for increasing opening our ears to hear and letting us put a priority on spending time in your presence. And Lord, we just thank you for it. And we give you honor and glory and praise. And we ask for your blessing upon every person that's here tonight. We ask for the anointing to be resting upon them. We ask that your presence will be so near, and that they will learn your goodness and your blessing, and that you will be so good to them and just bring such blessings their way that they'll wake up in the middle of the night just laughing, saying, God, you're so good to me. You're so good to me. Lord, we thank you for open heavens. We thank you, Lord, for open heavens and open hearts. Oh, and a greater awareness of your presence with us, around us. And Lord, we thank you for blessing every person here tonight with this greater sensitivity to your presence and your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We'll see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Amen.